Bristol Motor Speedway is back on dirt for the first time in 20 years. The Bristol Dirt Nationals podcast is here to provide the details and behind-the-scenes building of this once-in-a-lifetime event live from the Last Great Coliseum, March 15th through the 20th, 2021. Subscribe, follow, and engage on your favorite podcast platform. It's Bristol, baby. It's dirt, baby.
All right, episode number one of the Bristol Dirt Nationals podcast, and we are going to kick it off with, well, what some consider the man when it comes to anything that has anything to do with operations for Speedway Motorsports. He works for corporate. He goes to all these different tracks. It's the Senior Vice President of Operations and Development, Steve Swift. Welcome to the very first Bristol Dirt Nationals podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Glad that you had me on.
So, Steve, you know, we joked about it. You got a long title, Senior Vice President of Operations and Development. Tell us what you do.
Well, it's with that title comes a lot of different responsibilities, naturally. You know, it's great to have the ability to travel to all of our different tracks and see all the different things and to help with the operations of races, you know, naturally from the parking, traffic, all the things that make a race happen once it shows up and the fans are on site and being part of that team, the operational side of each of our tracks and each of our events. And then development side, you know, naturally that's the fun part. That's the part where we get to build the great inventions and thoughts that the Smith family gives us. You know, Marcus and Bruton have great visions and have built some really unique things over the years, and we are known to be the first in a lot. You know, Charlotte Motor Speedway is one of our tracks that has a lot of firsts, the first to run NASCAR under lights, the first to, you know, have a four-lane drag strip. There's a ton of things to list of first, and being on the development front of that, it's always fun to be part of that construction side and building some unique structures and unique things for the Smith family and for the race fans. And this dirt track is going to be one of those. You know, naturally, it was done several years ago or 2 decades ago, actually, and now we're getting to revitalize it and make it better than what it was.
So let's back up a little bit quick before we talk about the dirt track. But you work at all of these tracks, Charlotte, Bristol, Vegas, Atlanta, Texas, all the tracks that are under the Speedway Motorsports banner. So to give people a glimpse at, like, your schedule, from what I understand, you're a jet setter. You're flying from track to track to track. You're setting up all this different stuff, and it's not just NASCAR. It's all, you know, these other big-type events and special events.
Absolutely. So it's so in a COVID year, naturally, you know, our schedules, everyone's schedules were definitely a way different. But just to put in perspective, I actually still flew, not counting on different planes, but on just commercial flights, 35,000 miles this year, which is a really low number for what I typically fly. But, you know, in a COVID year, that was still quite a few miles to put on the road with all the restrictions that were in place. But, you know, we run races all year, basically. It's always funny to hear people talk about the off season. You know, naturally, race season opens up in February and ends in November, and we run races and events throughout the year. And on top of that, we have, you know, the other events, whether it be dirt, drag racing, EDC concerts in Vegas, you know, different styles. We have great venues, and our venues are definitely set up for large events. And with that, naturally, we're always keeping those venues full. So working with our teams, we've got great teams at each of our tracks. Thank goodness there's no way a person could do that by themselves by far. And we've got great leadership in those roles at each of our tracks that helps to make those shows happen. So my role is just to make sure they have the tools that they need to be successful at the events that we're putting on. And luckily, you know, with the Smith family and what we've got, it's been a great and fun time to continue to push all these great events for our fans.
So, Steve, considering that, you're going from, you know, planning road courses to planning dance festivals to doing all this at these different tracks. That's the scope of your job and what you do. Now you're tackling something that was done 20 years ago, but it's a completely different ball game. And we've talked about that. We need to point this out. It was done in 2000 and 2001. There's been many changes at Bristol since then, even at that, just on the pavement side. But there's going to be a completely new and different effort going into this year. Let's explain that. I, you know, we've talked about this offline, a lot of folks are comparing it to 2000 and 2001, the speeds, the banking, all of that. Let's set the stage so they understand that while it did happen 20 years ago, while it was cool 20 years ago, this is going to be a different animal in 2021.
Yep. So, you know, there's a lot of things when we start talking about the possibility of putting dirt back on Bristol and what that would look like. And naturally, the NASCAR fan itself had put out that they wanted to see, when they started running trucks on dirt, that they'd love to see the Cup Series run on dirt. So the top elite series of NASCAR on dirt again. And, you know, of all the tracks that are out there that could possibly handle that infrastructure and whatnot, Bristol came to the mind and was our idea to try to revitalize that and bring it. So we've been talking about it for a few years, you know, talking about what happened in 2000, 2001 with the speeds that were there. You know, Bristol is known as the world's fastest half mile. And, you know, Tennessee's got several dirt tracks around that are the fastest dirt tracks, or claim to be the fastest dirt tracks. And with Bristol, we wanted to make sure we were taking all that into accord. So, you know, this has been 2 years in the making, talking about it, trying to bring what we could do. One thing I can say for the Smith family is, and Marcus, now being our CEO, definitely wants to make sure everything we do is top class and thought through and thoroughly thought out. So the dirt was a big monster, right? That's why we call it the monster, because we're looking at taking a very, very good racetrack and covering it with dirt and trying to create a very, very good dirt track. And we took into account, you know, you're talking about the changes to what Bristol has been since 2000. So back in 2000, we had the old concrete track that we had to replace in 2007, 2006. We went in and actually rebanked the track and put in a lot more safety parameters, actually straightened out the outside walls, added interior walls, made the walls between pit road and the track itself better, taller, more safety parameters in place, and changed the aprons. The old track had really, really bad aprons. There was so many different degrees of banking as you would go around that track, just from settlement and push, just to say it was an old track and it was time for it to be replaced. The concrete was failing. So when we redid the track, we actually looked at several things. We made the track wider, and I'm talking about asphalt and concrete currently. We made the track wider, made the aprons wider and more efficient, made pit road easier to get on and off of, made the crossover getting into the track easier to get into, actually lengthened out the transitions of the track where the old track fell off very quickly. There is really not a true straightaway, as a racer would call it, that you're not in transition on the existing track. And, you know, as we've seen, we've done a lot to get the track or the racing of NASCAR back to that one lane bump series, but it's a function of what the car has become and what the track has done. So the track is very racy now, and looking at that, how can you throw dirt on that and make it as racy and make it more for a dirt race? It helps us out a bunch, because when we start to put the dirt on and the aprons and whatnot, we've got a lot more real estate in the track area to work with. So we can make for better embanking, we can make for better transitions, we can make for better aprons and take away some of that crazy speed that it had back in 2000, 2001 and get back to a better race.
And again, we're going to back up there. The banking is significantly different from the before they put the base on in 2000, 2001. It was all laser graded. It's a completely different track from where they started, correct, back in 2000, 2001?
Completely different. The outside walls are even different. We actually, when we went in and redid the track completely, we changed the outside walls, everything from the outside wall to the infield, and then even the infield, the buildings that used to be in the infield, there were 8 different structures that were scattered across the infield. Now we've got everything pushed in the ends, and that way we can get all the haulers in the middle. So with saying that, we changed everything. The outside walls and the turns actually came up and got smoothed out. They were very irregular. So whenever we ran it back in 2000, the walls were tilted the wrong direction. Some of them were, you know, high, low, up, down. Imagine that the track was built, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, and really didn't get touched again until we touched it that year. So a lot of work went into making it a better facility from a racer's standpoint than what it was, you know, prior to.
Speaking of that, now we've got a completely different animal that we're dealing with. It's a completely different track. And I think it's important to point that out. We've talked about that. You've talked about the walls. I mean, the walls themselves, why are they different?
Naturally, back in 2000, on the old racetrack, the old Bristol, crazy enough as it sounds, and this has been let out, but you know, the old track was scheduled to be, or was, 36 degrees. And with that, you know, whenever the walls were placed, you always try to place the walls to a 90 degree angle to that track racing surface. Well, unfortunately, in the old days when they were building it, before the Smith family owned it, it was not in the exact, the assets weren't quite there to build the track to 100%. They kind of, as you know, racetracks, and especially in any type of racing, things kind of evolve as the racing series and the racing gets better, but sometimes the construction side of things don't evolve with that. So that's where Armco went to concrete and so on and so forth. We had to really look at those walls, because with what we do from a safety stance anymore, you know, naturally it's keeping the competitors safe. So we revamped the walls to where they're 90 degrees to the new track. And the great part about that is, with what we're doing coming up, is it really helps us out with the dirt. One thing to mention too is, back in 2000, if I'm not mistaken, the embanking of the track on the dirt was 22 degrees. And because the track was a lot narrower and the aprons were a lot more narrow, that was, you know, as shallow as they could get on the racetrack itself. What we've looked at and try to increase the racing is, we've dropped it to 18 degrees with what we're doing now. We feel like that'll create better competitive racing, give the guys a better chance, because, you know, half mile dirt track's a pretty decently linked track, and the way that the track's laid out with the long transitions, it should create really great racing.
You say 18 degrees of banking. At times, it's been said on the internet or wherever, it's 30 degrees of banking. I mean, it's been wildly, like, all over the board with what the actual degree of banking is at Bristol. And it's impressive. If you drive on the track, you go on the top, you are going to want to hold on. It's treacherous. It's something else to actually go on that track and drive with a car and just look down. It's like you're looking down. It's impressive. But as you're saying, 18 degrees of banking, how is that going? How, and we know this, we talked with you, we went to the track, but how are you going to get to 18 degrees of banking?
Lots of dirt. So virtually, if you can imagine, currently the track's 30 degrees on the concrete. And in order to shallow that up and create the new dirt arrangement, basically we're bringing a lot of dirt in. Basically in the turns, we're looking at anywhere from 8 to 10 foot of fill in some areas. So overall, we're going to be bringing in 20,000 yards of dirt. That should give everybody a great feeling that it's definitely a dirt track, because there's a lot of dirt tracks out there that, you know, 20,000 yards is a tremendous amount of material to haul in and create a racetrack. But, you know, that's the commitment we've got, to make sure we're building it right and we're doing it to a fans' expectation and a competitor's expectation, to create the best racing we can.
So 8 to 10 feet of dirt in some of the corners, correct? And it's going to look like the infield will look like it's down in a bowl at that point, right?
It will, yes. It will look like you could fill it full of water and have a nice pond inside of what's existing as a racetrack, for sure.
So from a dirt track perspective, this is what you're going to see. It's going to look like a bowl. It's in the infield, it's going to look like a wall almost. But speaking of that, the infield wall, you're actually going to move up also.
That's correct. We with this field, we recognize, and we've got to bring the interior wall up to still create that safety for the inside. So yes, there'll be a nice apron that runs all the way around the track from the, what we call the white line. I'm not sure in the dirt world what that exact terminology is, but the hinge point of the track to the apron, there'll be a nice width of an apron, and then you'll have a concrete wall there that will protect you from getting stuck into that bowl.
Your background, you're an engineer, you're doing these dance festivals, you're doing all these different road course races, you're doing all these different events at the different Speedway Motorsports tracks. You've had to really catch up to speed on dirt, the composition of the dirt, how things are done. What have you done over the last year to kind of, you know, jumpstart that process in your education on dirt track racing?
Yeah, so just to be blatantly honest, dirt was not, you know, we own several dirt tracks across our facilities, and we run events at those dirt tracks, but that was never really on the radar of my side of expertise. As you mentioned, I'm an engineer by degree. Concrete is one of my strong suits. Have definitely, with having tons of racetracks, gotten more versed in asphalt and learned a lot more about asphalt on that side. But we're used to concrete and asphalt. So dirt was very much a unique creature to me, other than knowing how to create a pad or a site or the subgrade for a concrete track to be placed on top of it. Now, that side of things was very comfortable. But when you start talking about dirt racing, what I have learned, and over the past year since we made this announcement and it finally became to fruition and truth, I have visited a lot of dirt races, went to a lot of different dirt races this year to get the feel, the science. I've went as a fan, I've went as a behind the scenes to talk to, you know, track operators, talk to numerous tracks across the United States. And what I have found, and you could probably echo this, which is quite comical, is there is no exact science for dirt. Each track is unique in its own, and dirt is a totally different creature and reacts to so many different things throughout the elements that are provided to it, whether they're, like we were talking earlier, you know, with your at the beach or on the side, the tides, when you start talking about the humidities and the temperatures and the freeze thaw and the different styles of dirt, types of dirt, trying to find that exact perfect dirt. You know, naturally in the dirt world, there's several tracks that people talk about that are great dirt tracks from the dirt scenario. And most of those fall in the Midwest and are those nice black dirt racetracks. We're in Northeast Tennessee, and there's not a lot of black dirt around here that would be worth racing on. So we get the nice red clay, and we've done a lot of research. We've tested a ton of soil. We've talked to great operators like yourself as far as, you know, who's the right people to talk to. And again, just to be brutally honest, there are a ton of dirt experts when you start talking to them. Everybody's got their own uniqueness. And what we're trying to do is take all those pieces and put together the best product that we can with working with the best groups.
So that brings us to the Bristol Dirt Nationals. We're the week before NASCAR. This idea legitimately came together over the past month. After the Duel in the Desert was done in Vegas, this discussion started. The opportunity came up. It's been put together over the last month. Obviously, you guys have talked about, you know, keeping dirt on the track after and having other events. The World of Outlaws announced events yesterday that they're going to be after the NASCAR race. But the key of the Bristol Dirt Nationals is to work this track in and give it and punish it and give it a good base for the NASCAR event the week after.
Absolutely. And we're super excited partnering with you guys and, you know, having that time to really, you know, somebody's got to be the guinea pig. And luckily you have stepped to the plate to be the guinea pig. And it's really going to be, you know, again, super excited, super stoked for seeing you guys come out there and putting it through its paces and working that base in and, you know, being part of what will happen the next weekend with the NASCAR event and the first time, you know, creating history. There goes again for Speedway Motorsports in the first of putting NASCAR Cup Series on dirt at a high event for a points race. So what you guys do for that week before will be super detrimental for what we've got going forward, and having the expertise of your team and you guys out there to help us get into that pace is a key element to the success of what we're going to have for the next weekend.
So we have over 1,200 entries for the Bristol Dirt Nationals at this point. We can't do much more. Everything's sold out. We're going to punish the track. We're going to put it through the paces. There's racing every day, Monday through Saturday. There's going to be a ton of laps. We're going to learn a lot about the track. But here's the real deal. We're going to have weather to deal with. There's no doubt about it. In March in the mountains, we're going to have weather to deal with. We're going to have a lot of different scenarios to deal with. This is all brand new, but we're going to do our best. I mean, I think it says a lot for Mike Van Genderen and his team to take the Duel in the Desert and the dirt track at Las Vegas Motor Speedway and turn that around, which was almost like the impossible. And that was done. And it was done through a lot of maintenance and just keeping your eye on the track and how it's, you know, working and what it's doing. But again, we're going back to Bristol. It's all brand new dirt. We're going to be laying it down, and it sounds like we're starting in January, correct?
That is correct. January. So the unique thing about our events as well, so every year at Christmas time in Bristol, we run a light show where the local area can drive through and see the Christmas lights and whatnot. Been doing that for 20 plus years in the ice rink. So naturally there's lights in the way, or we would be starting earlier. Once the lights have cleaned up, which will be on January the 10th, we will start placing dirt on the racetrack. We've actually already started hauling in some sub-base, you know, bond separator, so to speak, and got that rolling and got some equipment in place and ready to hit it wide open come January 10th.
So no expenses will be spared on this operation. It's some of the best clay that you guys could find. Going to start on January 10th, going to start getting that base down, start building the track. So you basically have about 2 months to get that put together, start rolling it in, grading it. And talk about, I mean, I think one big important piece in this is not only you went out and found the best clay that you possibly could, but everything is laser graded, some of the best equipment you can get.
Absolutely. So our grading partner that we have here is a huge proponent of technology and has been for years utilizing either laser equipment or machine grade or GPS units. And with all that we've done, he's done a lot of racetracks for us, just putting stone on grade and whatnot with that same technology. So we did Bristol back in 2007 with this same equipment, and it'll be unique to most dirt tracks. Something I have found with my travels and ventures to all these different dirt tracks is equipment sometimes is not always the top of the notch or top of the line. I can promise you with what we're doing here, we've got top of the line equipment. We got the best of the best. We got some of the best operators. And, you know, with your expertise and Mike's expertise for sure, you know, as far as keeping the track graded in and rolled in and trying to keep moisture in the track, we're taking all that stuff into account, and we've got the equipment to do it. And with your team, we've got the know-how. So we feel pretty confident rolling into next year, next season, and look forward to that time.
A lot of people have, you know, whether it's social media, whatnot, have said, how is this going to handle 1,200 cars? How is this event going to take on 1,200 cars the week before NASCAR? And Steve, going back to that, this event needs 1,200 cars to wear this track out, to get a good base down, to get some intel to lead you guys into the NASCAR week. So that is a successful event, correct?
Absolutely. You know, we're basically trying to take it's always better to have an experienced track. You know, naturally, we all know that in the past years, the truck series has ran on Eldora, you know, every summer in the June months, but that track has been tried and tested and true and been through the paces, so to speak, all the way leading up to that point. As you have pointed out, you know, we're talking about brand new dirt, brand new track, and it needs its paces. So with that amount of cars, we're trying to age a track as quickly as possible and get as much knowledge. Because again, as I said, you know, the more you talk to people, it's more the experience of how the dirt's reacting and what it's doing on a day-to-day basis, not on a month-to-month or a year-to-year, because it changes constantly. So by you guys coming in and putting that many cars on the track in six days, you know, we're going to get a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge in those 6 days. And there's nothing better than quick knowledge to be set up for that big weekend.
Right. So this will give you guys the ability to react if there needs to be any changes made. Any you know, way that the weather might react to the track, the laps, the process, everything like that. And at the end of the day, it should work out pretty flawless. But it's a dirt track. You got weather, you got all kinds of different variables, and at the end of the day, Steve, we can only do our best.
Absolutely. Is, you know, one thing that our group, if you think about the NASCAR side of things, we've got a ton of guys that take care of the track services side. So cleanup, you know, picking cars up off the track, the wrecker services, the wreckers we have, you know, all that stuff that makes a NASCAR race go on and makes a dirt race go on as well. It's a good week for those guys and that team to get experience on that dirt as well, which will help us, you know, moving forward. So all in all, it's not, you know, just about the track. It also touches all those operational pieces as well, and how, you know, getting cars into the track and how we bring haulers across the racetrack and get them into the infield and how that all sets up. So it's a great, again, we're super stoked and super excited that you guys are coming, because it helps us out to A, put on a great event, get the fans to see what we're all about, and B, just get that experience built into our whole team, not just on the surface itself.
One thing we're going to mention before we leave is safety, and that's going to be a key at this track. So we've discussed the walls, we've discussed the different degree in the banking and the extra dirt that's going to be there. your guys' safety team, our safety team, our tech team, rules, a number of different things. A lot of people fear Bristol, world's fastest half mile. Steve, let's alleviate some of those fears without people actually seeing it yet.
Absolutely. No, I think, you know, like I said earlier, the 2000-2001 track was 22 degrees on dirt. We've dropped that in banking to 18 for this go-round. So I think that naturally helps with the speed of things and looking at the speed of the cars. You know, not to the steer that's going to be the fastest half mile, still think it's going to be a great show. But from a safety parameter, there is no other dirt track, I would be willing to say, even the ones we own, that will have the safety parameters in place like we will here at Bristol. Naturally, we put on the National Series, the top National Series in racing in the United States with NASCAR. So our setup and what we are required to have for NASCAR keeps us at a high standard for safety. As most people are aware in the NASCAR world, and thank the good Lord and keeping it this way, you know, the fatalities in the NASCAR races have almost disappeared with all the safety parameters they've put in place. And that's been a great thing that NASCAR spent money on research and required the tracks to put in place. So from a safety stance, you know, being at a NASCAR racetrack, you're definitely covered. One thing to mention is, you know, in case somebody does have an accident, if it was somewhat severe, there's a care center in the infield with a full care group that'll be on staff and possible. That's something that's not always, from what I have seen at dirt, local dirt races, on path and in place. We've also got, you know, great reaction teams on place to get to cars to make sure that, you know, if somebody's piled up, that we're getting to them quickly. From just the pure racing stance of it, naturally, the track itself will be, you know, laid out geometrically that it's providing the best racing that we can create on this racetrack. So we feel confident that we've taken those parameters. We're not creating a dangerous situation by any manner with the design of the racetrack.
So to back that up on the safety measures, make sure that you have all the proper safety gear and equipment. If you do not have that, you will not be allowed to race. And that goes for every class at the facility. Tech is going to be extremely tough. There's going to be a number of tech people on the tech team led by Kelly Carlton and his team. So again, I can't stress that enough. Your safety equipment, it better be updated. Go ask Santa Claus, get something under your tree, get a Hans device, get all that good stuff, because you're going to need to have it or you won't be able to race. That's number one. It's imperative. We get it. It's a big track. It's daunting. It's going to be awesome to be on that track, but you have to respect the track also. On top of that, Steve, after the Bristol Dirt Nationals, March 15 to the 20th, the next week is the NASCAR races, and you guys obviously have a full weekend of NASCAR. But after that, it doesn't stop. You're in about a five-week window where this dirt track is going to be the place to be in all of racing, because as of yesterday, the World of Outlaws announced their dates at the track. April 8 to the 10, they're going to have the World of Outlaws Morton Buildings Late Model Series and the UMP Dirt Car Modifieds. And then the weekend after, the World of Outlaws Bristol Throwdown with the NOS Energy Drink Sprint Car Series and the Big Block Modifieds. Man, are you ready for all this?
It's going to be a fun year for dirt. You know, it's quite interesting. Once we decided to go this route, you know, the goal was to get as much usage out of it as we possibly could and get some of the best racers on to the track as we possibly could. So with that, you know, as you hear, yeah, it's going to be a trying, exciting time. Definitely, you know, jumping out of the boat, and that tells you the confidence that Marcus has in our team to put together the best track that we can, you know, trying to take a new racetrack like we're doing and create something that hasn't been done in a long time. Like I'll say, it's never been done, but hasn't been done in a long time, and make it a whole lot better than it was. So yeah, it's going to be a trying year, and you throw on top of those all the NASCAR races we've got going on at the same time. So it's going to be definitely a busy spring.
So Bristol is the place to be this spring. Again, the Bristol Dirt Nationals, March 15th through the 20th. The following weekend, NASCAR, Truck Series, Infinity Series, the Cup Series. And then on top of that, the Bristol Bash, April 8 to the 10, and then the Bristol Throwdown, April 22 to the 24th. Steve, we're going to make the most of this dirt track operation at Bristol. Various series, a lot of racers, and most importantly, the fans need to know, and it sounds like everything goes on sale for these other races on January 8th.
Absolutely. Yep. Get your tickets while you can. It's going to be something to see for sure. Great year for racing at Bristol Motor Speedway. It's going to be exciting times for going back to the roots of racing. So we're excited to put all these shows on and hope to see you guys at the racetrack.
That'll do it for episode number one of the Bristol Dirt Nationals podcast. Again, if you have not, get your information at bristoldirt.com or at Bristol Dirt on social media.
The Bristol Dirt Nationals podcast is a production of the Accelerated Podcast Network. Subscribe, follow, and engage on your favorite podcast platform. To follow the Bristol Dirt Nationals, head to bristoldirt.com and at Bristol Dirt on your social media platforms.